Moncrief on News Talk.
Workers renovating a fence in Poland recently made a gruesome discovery. The remains of two children dating from the medieval period, one of them had been beheaded due to a belief at the time that they possessed supernatural powers. Dr. Philippa Byrne is Assistant Professor of Medieval History in Trinity. Good afternoon, Philippa.
Good afternoon.
Now, some of the headlines were saying that there were vampires, but did vampirism or the idea of it even exist at that time?
Yes, well, I hate to be the person to pour cold water on this, but that's what historians do, I suppose. So the idea of a vampire, you know, a man with big white teeth and a long cloak who turns into a bat, certainly isn't around at this time. That's an 18th, 19th century invention of the Gothic novel. What they might have in the Middle Ages is an idea that occasionally the dead might rise from their graves. So it's possible that's what we're seeing here, though that's not necessarily it.
Because apart from one of the children being beheaded, they seem to have been buried in a particular way.
Yeah, I think there had been the head had been turned into the grave, and there had been stones placed on the body. Possibly there had been the tomb itself had been marked with poles. It's what we would call, what archaeologists would call a deviant burial. It might be suggesting any number of things, but not necessarily supernatural powers.
Ah, right. What other things might it suggest?
Well, this is where it gets interesting, because graves are amongst the hardest things in archaeology to interpret. But it's possible, for example, what we might be seeing here is some attempt to kind of separate these two bodies from the community. If they've transgressed the social code, that's possible. It might also be the case, especially when we see decapitations, that we're talking about a kind of form of judicial punishment. And the problem is that textual records don't survive, so we have to interpret from what we can see. That's the tricky part of this.
Yes. Okay. So they may well have just committed a crime of some sort.
Yeah, that's entirely possible on the evidence that we have.
And could we infer that it was deemed to be a very serious crime, given that they were buried in this way?
That would be the assumption. And it's probably worth saying that if we're talking about burials that take place in Poland in the 13th century, it's not long been Christianized, only a couple of centuries. Some historians would say that this is the point at which Christian customs are coming face to face with local, maybe pagan customs. So there's a sort of disagreement over how exactly you punish or inter people who transgress social codes.
Okay. But do we have any idea in the 13th century what kind of transgression they might have committed that would merit a burial in this way?
Not really is the answer. Often it's something, it might be sacrilege, it might be moving beyond the bonds of communal norms, things that would make it difficult for you to be brought back into the community.
Yeah. Would if you had a disease of some sort that, you know, wouldn't have been particularly understood or viewed as a disease, might that be a factor there?
So that's one of the suggestions that's been made, that maybe individuals like this possibly shown signs of tuberculosis or something. In this individual case, hard to say, but more generally, it's certainly the case that, for example, people with leprosy in the medieval world, there's an attempt to sort of isolate them, to set them outside community. I mean, the fear is contagion. There is an idea sometimes that people who are afflicted with chronic diseases that the medieval world doesn't understand, they need to be separated. They might be marked by God, but might be a good thing or it might be a bad thing. It depends who you ask. So it's a kind of interesting case study in that sense.
Yeah. Okay. So, but they probably wouldn't have just viewed it as a disease and we need to isolate these corpses. That they would have viewed it as something evil is operating here.
Yeah. All these ideas are bound together in the medieval world. So there isn't the kind of distinction between what we would think of today as disease and magic and religion. These are all intertwined. And it's not always possible to tell whether a disease is something that you've caught or whether this is something that's been given to you as a sort of marker of the divine.
Yeah. These kinds of burials, are they common? I mean, in the sense of, are they found regularly?
They're found relatively regularly. I mean, we find lots of dead bodies from the Middle Ages who aren't buried like this, who are buried in what we might call a normal fashion. And the term that's given to these kinds of burials is deviant burials. You find them in Poland, in the Balkans, in Greece. There are also earlier examples from the earlier medieval period, sort of 7th, 8th centuries in both Britain and Ireland.
Right, OK. And it would be more or less the same thing in Britain and Ireland, would it?
They're all sort of variations on a theme. So often we're talking about decapitation. We're talking about stones placed somewhere around the body, sometimes a kind of marker at the grave. Those are the sort of standard things we might see.
Yeah. Is it interesting, though, that in such a wide area that people are burying certain bodies in a very similar way?
I think it's telling us something. Well, first of all, the fact that we can call these deviant, we can usually say that the reason they're deviant is because of most dead bodies, there's real care that's taken to inter them in a kind of correct fashion. It might be telling us something about anxieties around the corpse. And indeed, it's an entirely in keeping with medieval Christian belief to worry about what happens to the body after death. So they might not have a vampire with a capital V, but they have ideas about ghosts, about messages from beyond the grave. So there is a kind of shared set of ideas here.
Yeah, and well then, if a corpse is beheaded, that's clearly saying something about how they might operate in the next life. And is that perhaps to prevent them operating in the next life?
So that's what folklorists would say. Certainly by the time we get to the 17th century, the suggestion, that's the idea, you chop off the head, the corpse can't rise. But it may also just be a kind of marker of social stigma. You are damaging the body, you're making it less than whole. It's a punishment that will endure, as it were, beyond death. So it may be as much about sort of how the living want to define themselves as their concerns about the dead body.
Philippa, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Philippa Byrne, Assistant Professor in Medieval History at Trinity College Dublin.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.